You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil, and you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got to do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. How are you doing this weekend? It warmed up, huh? I actually loved that cool fog we had midweek. I thought it was lovely. But boy, today at the farmer's market in Sebastopol was certainly a gorgeous day. The fog lifted just about the time the market was opening. Market was packed. We are certainly in the middle of summer's harvest. First, probably not the very first day, but the first day that I've seen tomatoes from the patch in Sebastopol. Lots of peaches. Saw the first local hot chilies. They were both serranos and jalapenos. So it's really great. We have a wonderful guest today, somebody I can talk to for hours. He's brilliant and has done a lot for the world of food, as you'll find out in a few minutes. But before that, there are a couple things that I wanted to talk about. Actually, three things I wanted to talk about. One, there is a benefit coming up on Sunday, a week from today, and you can actually do both. You can go to this benefit and still listen to Mouthful, because I will be coming from the benefit to do Mouthful. It is the annual fundraiser for the Sonoma County Book Festival. There's a tradition of having a party out at Mimi Luberman's Windrush Farm, which is a really beautiful place out on Chileno Valley Road. It is a working ranch. It's a lovely place, even when it's really hot. I think it was last year. It was quite warm. And I interviewed Anne Zimmerman, who wrote the lovely book about MFK Fisher. Well, this year, the special guest is Bruce Idels, Sausage King. He's really the man who launched or was at the epicenter of the sausage revolution, one of those people who came out of the gourmet ghetto in Berkeley, where so much was going on. And he's got some really entertaining stories, really interesting stories, and some delicious things to share with you. But we have just found out that Franco Dunn, if you know Franco Dunn from Osante Restaurant up in Geyserville, which is no more, and more recently One World Sausages, Franco Dunn is right now, I believe, Sonoma County's premier sausage maker. And I've known Franco for a long time, and I've known Bruce for a long time. What I didn't know is that Franco was Bruce's roommate, and he was his roommate when he became impassioned about sausages. And Franco is also Idel Sausage's very first employee. So Franco is going to join us at Windrush Farm on Sunday, and there will be sausages from a couple sources, including Yanni's Sausage Grill in Pen Grove. And it turns out Yanni was inspired by Bruce Idels to become a sausage maker. So he is going to be coming, and he's donating sausages for the event. Mimi Luberman has an outdoor wood-burning oven. There are always pizzas from that wood-burning oven at the event. There will be grilled sausages. There will be plenty for vegetarians as well. And then there's this other thing that has become a tradition at this event, because J.J. Wilson, a dear friend, she was a professor of mine at Sonoma State, she asked me a few years ago about a salad or something sort of desserty but not over the top. And I suggested my honeydew and absinthe salad. And everyone has liked it so much that they now serve that every year at this event. And it's really good because after you've eaten all the honeydew melon, you can tip the juices into your glass and have a little sip of absinthe. Anyway, that's the event. It's $40 to $60 sliding scale. Kids 12 and under can come with you for free. You can go to Brown Paper Tickets. And if you do that, just put Bruce Idell's in conversation to look for your ticket. You can also go to Facebook. I believe there is a Facebook event. There is definitely a Facebook event page now for this event. You can send me an email at catsmilk@sonic.net, or you can just call J.J. Wilson directly. Her phone number is 707-795-9028. It's 707-795-9028. Email also works. Her email address is boxcar@sonic.net. So that is coming up next Sunday, August 5th, from 2 to 5 p.m. in Petaluma off of Chileno Valley Road. So, and you can actually get tickets right up until the door. But, you know, the economy being what it is right now, no events are selling as well as they normally do. So the book festival people are really hoping that this brings in the money that they're used to bringing in. And the Sonoma County Book Festival is such a treasure. And, you know, I keep hearing all this nonsense about, oh, there aren't going to be any more books. Of course there are. There will be books, there will be magazines, there will be newspapers. Everything will just shake out and allow for another media. And when you hear people saying that, it's like, yeah, what are we going to do when the electricity goes out? We need stuff we can hold in our hands. There's also, not to overload you, but one more thing before, well, two more things. One is another event. It is coming up on August 12th at Woodenhead Winery on River Road in Santa Rosa. Again, there is a Facebook event page for this. Faith Akko, beautiful Faith Akko, who's been here on Mouthful, she will be performing. And there's going to be some fun stuff. There will be prizes for the best Aloha shirt, the best Aloha dress, and the best Aloha dinner plate. So if you've got some Hawaiian china sitting around, some Hawaiian ceramic, I mean Hawaiian Melmac, whatever, dig that out. They're asking everybody to please bring your own plate and flatware, something that is happening at an increasing number of events because that helps keep the event greener, less waste, also less rental. And, you know, they'll wash it for you before you leave so you don't have to take home a dirty plate. And, yes, I am involved in this. I'm doing the menu. I'm doing the food, and I'm organizing the dancers who will be there. And we're also going to have a lei workshop where we'll be getting flowers direct from Hawaii. And I will teach you how to make your own lei, which is easy and fun, and they're so beautiful. And also Timothy David Dixon, an artist, really quite a fine artist, has been since he was really young, since he was like a teenager or something. He's been doing 15-minute portraits. He can just sit down, look at you, and draw your portrait. So he's going to be doing these Hawaiian-themed portraits for a small charge for anybody who would like one. Should tell you that the feast is going to include a poke bar. I will be getting ahi tuna from Dave LeGros, who was Mouthful's featured guest last week. And so you actually assemble your own poke with all of the accompaniments, and you choose whatever you want. We'll have pineapple with black pepper and Hawaiian salt. Yes, we will have spam musubi, Kalua-style pig with cabbage and chili water, Korean-style barbecued ribs, which if you've never had them, oh my gosh. They take you straight to heaven. Potato mac salad. I'm doing a couple of little secret things on the potato mac salad to make it really, really good. Green papaya salad, fresh fruit, coconut macadamia bread pudding, butter mochi, and free-flowing Woodenhead wines. And Woodenhead, if you don't know, they're one of the only wineries that have paid any attention to French Colombard. They do a beautiful dry French Colombard still wine, which is one of the best wines I've ever had with oysters. And they also do a sparkling French Colombard, which is absolutely delicious. They're better known for their Pinots, and deservedly so, because their Pinot Noirs are absolutely fabulous. And also great Zinfandels. So it's a really nice occasion. A lot of fun at $65 for wine club members, $75 for the general public. You can send an email to Zina, Z-I-N-A, at Woodenhead Wine Company. And I will post all of this information about both events on Mouthful's Facebook page as well. And you know you can always send me an email asking about anything at catsmilk@sonic.net. And now before I introduce our guests, just one other little thing that a lot of people in Sebastopol are talking about, and I'd like to, I don't know, jump into the conversation or have the conversation. There's going to be a new farmer's market in Sebastopol. I've long thought we needed a second farmer's market there because we have one on Sunday. It starts at 10, it ends at 10:30. I mean, it starts at 10, it ends at 1:30. It's downtown. It's extremely well attended. Very successful market, I believe. It opened for the first time in 1994, and so it's almost 20 years. It is going strong. It is, for this year, for the very first time, it went year-round. So now there is a second farmer's market opening. It's two blocks from downtown. It is going to be on Sunday from 10 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. So it's at the exact same time in the same geographic area, and a lot of people at the current market were saying, why? Why do we need two farmers markets at the exact same time? And in the press release from the people opening the new market, and they are the Redwood Empire Farmers Market, which is currently at the Veterans Building in Santa Rosa on Wednesday and Saturday, they took over the space when the Santa Rosa original market moved to the Wells Fargo Center. So now they're coming to Sebastopol and going right up against the Sebastopol market. And in all their press releases, they say, you know, I think it's really great that we're finally going to have, you know, put agriculture and customers together in Sebastopol. So I sort of wondered, well, does that mean they don't know there's already a market there? Because they're like not acknowledging it in their press releases. And that seemed kind of weird. It'd be like saying, wow, there's going to be a bookstore in Sebastopol. But it's like, yeah, well, we've had one for a long time. So there's another one that's cool, but you should acknowledge it. So we're all just sort of customers and vendors alike are wondering why, when, gosh, it would be so great to have a Tuesday afternoon market, a Wednesday afternoon market. So just pay attention. There's probably going to be a lot of conversation probably in the press, on blogs, and I'll see if I can put together a radio show that will not involve anyone with guns or otherwise or screaming. You know, I hate having to wear a flak jacket to Mouthful, which has happened now and then. And tempers are running high on this topic, understandably so. I think I've talked to one member of the Sebastopol City Council, just sort of wondering, well, do you have to have a permit? And why is the city letting this sort of competition happen? Why don't we have it on another day? Anyway, that's what's going on in Sebastopol. Stay tuned, as they say. And now, finally, my guest, Craig, are you bored?
No, very interesting.
Is Craig Ponsford, the founding baker for Artisan Bakers in the town of Sonoma. And I always forget the name of your current bakery.
Ponsford's Place.
Ponsford's Place. Does it have a longer subtitle?
Bakery and Innovation Center.
Innovation Center, that's it. Yes. Okay, Ponsford's Place, no problem. So the Innovation Center. Let's start out with you explaining the name, which is so intriguing.
Well, my intentions of this particular bakery is that it's rather small. It's 900 square feet. And I wanted it to be a multi-purpose facility where I could do a little bit of everything that I like to do. Mm-hmm. So the innovation part of it is that the idea is that I really get to be creative there, mm-hmm. and that I don't force myself in a corner by, for example, having a retail store that's open every day of the week.
So you don't have to provide 50 baguettes every morning at 6.
Exactly. So that I have the opportunity to do art if I want to do art, teach if I want to teach,
oh, wow.
Make savory foods if I want to make food, you know, instead of baked goods, and also develop products for customers. I'm a product developer, to speak. So,
And it's right downtown San Rafael, right?
Yeah, it's between 4th and 3rd Street on Shaver, like as if you're shaving your face, 117 Shaver Street. And it's a cute little street, and it's the only business on Shaver Street. Mm-hmm. It's a real residential area.
Mm-hmm. And when are you open?
We are open on Fridays and Saturdays, and Fridays from 8 to 6, and on Saturday from 8 to 3.
Oh, so only those 2 days.
Only those 2 days. And then we also do what we call pizza nights, mm-hmm. which are every other Thursday. And we just did our last Thursday. So I'm not sure what the next Thursday is. I guess that's the 12th.
So you just choose different Thursdays. It's not every Thursday.
Every other.
Oh, every other.
Yeah.
Okay. And what time does it start?
That's a 5:30 to 8 experience.
Okay. Okay.
So we have very limited hours. We do have a website, pontsfordsplace.com, mm-hmm. And we update every week what our hours are because we are a little confusing.
Okay. And how long have you been there?
We'll be there 2 years in November.
Okay. And then you're also working with or part of an integral part of Community Grains, right?
Yeah. Community Grains is one of the hats I wear. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And does that dovetail at all with Pontsford's Place?
It does because I'm working with Community Grains is Bob Klein's project on creating a local grain economy and really focus on whole grains also and alternative grains. And I work for one of the other hats is that I work for Certified Foods, which is a small mill in Woodland who
a mill.
Mill. Mm-hmm. Okay. Flour mill. And because of my connection with that, Bob has a lot of his grains milled at Certified Foods.
Oh, okay. Interesting. You do wear a lot of hats.
Yeah.
Something happened recently too, didn't it? Did you just get an award?
I received I think prematurely, but that's okay. A Lifetime Achievement Award.
Premature. You're a young man. Yeah. But tell me about the award.
Well, it's called the Raymond Calvell Achievement Award, I guess. Is that the full name of the award? Raymond Calvell I often call him kind of the Bible of baking for French bakers. He wrote and kind of established the real basics of French baking, the science of baking. And he passed away a few years ago, and the Bread Bakers Guild of America asked his family if we could use his name for this award that we get. We used to call it the Golden Baguette Award.
Uh-huh. And so, is it much more distinguished with his name?
I believe so, yeah. I'm pretty thankful for the name change. So it's only given out occasionally. It's not an annual award or it hasn't been given out for 5 or 6 years.
Oh, uh-huh.
And, the Bread Bakers Guild was giving them out to people that really deserved them for a while. And then, we didn't want to make it a annual thing just to force somebody's name into a slot. So.
Sure.
But I'm the lucky one that got it this time. And also one of my, it was actually given to two people. It was given to Abe Faber, a really good friend of mine who was my vice chair while I was the chairman of the board of the Bread Bakers Guild.
Uh-huh. And what does Abe do?
He owns a bakery in Boston called Clear Flour.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. It's really nice.
I want to go back really far since this is Lifetime Achievement, but I want to anyway. How did you get, I know it was... What, 91 or so when Artisan Bakers?
92, July of 92. Okay. This month, 20 years ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why? How did you get involved? Why? I know your family started it. What brought you into wanting to be a baker?
Well, I went to culinary school at the CCA, California Culinary Academy.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Yeah, I went there to become a chef. I was working in Alaska and the oils.
Whereabouts in Alaska?
At the time I was on Dutch Harbor. Okay. And I was working 6 months, 3 to 6 month contracts working on fishing boats.
Oh, uh-huh.
And the oil spill happened and actually really created a big you know, it ruined the fishing industry up in Alaska. Yeah. So the company I work for went bankrupt, and I stayed home for a while, and I had this pocket full of money. So I decided, you know, and I worked in restaurants pretty much my whole childhood. And mm-hmm. I said, hey, let's go to culinary school. And went there to become a chef. And while going there, I got a job at Grace Baking, mm-hmm. which was right at the Rockridge Markets, the Rockridge BART station in Oakland, where I lived. And the bakery was right there at the exit. And so I got sidetracked. You know, I kind of discovered that I'm kind of a hyperactive, dyslexic, attention deficit kind of guy. And the focus of being in the middle of the night working with one or two people and just knocking out a lot of work makes me feel good, you know. Uh-huh. It's a selfish thing. Uh-huh. And so then by the time I finished culinary school, part of culinary school had a business program and all that, so I decided to do a bakery in my business class. And my family was kind enough. They had moved to Sonoma. We grew up in Oakland, but they had moved to Sonoma. And
yeah, I think your mom worked for a publisher in Berkeley.
North Point Press.
North Point, that's right. Mm-hmm. I knew it was a good publisher. Yeah, she worked for North Point. And I remember her calling me and telling me she was going to open a bakery like Acme.
Yeah. Well, I was influenced by Acme. We grew up in, you know, my mom was working at University Berkeley Press before that, and Chez Panisse opened a few blocks from where she worked, and mm-hmm. we grew up in Chez Panisse, and so Steve was making the bread that we were eating, and mm-hmm. it was the kind of bread that I really...
Steve Sullivan from Acme. Who mm-hmm. founded Acme.
And then he opened Acme Bakery when I was, you know, 18 or something, 19, mm-hmm. 20, somewhere in there, and we just felt like Sonoma County didn't have that style of bread.
It was, and they didn't.
Yeah, so we...
We didn't.
we felt like there was an opportunity there. And my mom and Chris, my stepfather, who had never been in the food business whatsoever, were kind enough to say, sure, we'll go along on this journey of opening a bakery with you. And little did they know what they were getting into. Yeah.
But it seems to me it was successful from the beginning.
That's
my perception.
Yeah, my perception too.
Okay, good.
I've heard people say, boy, your bread really stunk when you first opened. But they were friends. You know, there were people that were that stuck it out with me.
But you know, I remember, if it was July of 92, my second book came out in October of 92. And I think it was your mom volunteered to bring bread. That was back when publishers would still have publishing parties.
Right.
And it was out at Hog Island. And your mom and stepfather brought the most beautiful breads, and they were absolutely delicious.
Well, good. I'm glad you feel that way. I thought I was making really nice bread, too. But.
No, you were. You absolutely were. And there had not been bread like that yet.
I remember
Sonoma
that
County.
Event.
Oh, and did you? I was wondering if you were there.
I was there, yeah. Uh-huh. It was, you know, at that time I was working 20-hour days, seven days a week, so I probably wasn't very social, and I, you know, my eyes were probably bright, you know, bloodshot.
Well, and plus when you're, it was my, you know, I had to be, I was working basically.
Right, of course.
So,
I do remember that was a beautiful event.
Yeah,
it was really, really special.
Well, thank you. You know, I remember it that way as well. But, you know, publishers don't really do that anymore.
I know. Well, I grew up with a publisher,
you know.
And so I actually used to go to the ABA meetings. I don't know if you remember those.
Oh, with my mom. Catered one of them.
Yeah, so I remember it was fun. Book publishing, as you say, books are going to last in newspapers and magazines because it's a special medium. And there used to be a little more glory.
There's a little more glory, but I also think at that time they were a little flabby. You know, one thing they've got, I'm working with a publisher that I worked with in 97, and I'm working with them again, much to, I think, all of our surprise, because we weren't happy together. but they have focused more than they focused then, and I think that production has gotten better in a lot of ways, but marketing has gotten leaner, but more focused. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. It's like, that's what they have to do to survive. And I think the ones that do that will survive.
I would agree with that, yes.
Yeah. So why don't we take a little musical interlude, catch our breath, and we'll be right back with more talk with Craig Ponsford. It's okay.
Have a little song. Won't take long. Sing it right. Once or twice, oh, lot of me, didn't I? shake, sugary. Everything I got is done in part. Everything I got is done in part. Pawn my watch, pawn my chain, pawn everything that was in my name. Oh, Lord of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done in pawn. Everything I got is done in pawn. Pawn my buggy, horse and cart. Pawn everything that was on my lot. Oh, Lord of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done in pawn. Everything I got is done in pawn. Pawn my chair, pawn my bed. Ain't got nowhere to lay my head. Oh, Lord of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done in pawn. Everything I got is done in pawn. Pawn my tobacco, pawn my pipe. Pawn everything that was in my sight. Oh, Lord of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done in pawn. Everything I got is done in pawn. Have a little secret I ain't gonna tell. I'm going to heaven in a ground pea shell. Oh, Lord of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done in pawn. Everything I got is done in pawn. Pawn my farm, pawn my plow, pawn everything, even pawn my old cow. Oh, Lord of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done in pawn. Everything I got is done in pawn. Pawn my hat, pawn my shoes, pawn everything that I could use. Oh, Lord of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done in pawn. Everything I got is done in pawn. Have a little secret I ain't gonna tell. I'm going to heaven and I ain't gonna. Oh, Lord of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done in pawn. Everything I got is done in pawn. Chew my tobacco, spit my juice. Would raise Cain, but it ain't a bit of use. Oh, Lord of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done in pawn. Everything I got is done in pawn. Everything I got is done in pawn.
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan. Thanks for tuning in. You know, if there's ever anything you want to know about Mouthful, anything you want to suggest, any comment you want to make about something that we're talking about here on Mouthful, you can always go to Mouthful's Facebook page. For now, that's the easiest, especially if you want to get a conversation going. So it's just Mouthful and on Facebook. And you can like us or not. I think you can still make comments whether you you want to say you like us. We like it when you do, but whatever. You know, make your comments. And, you know, you got suggestions for guests. I do this every Sunday. Been doing it for 16 years. Everybody involved with Mouthful is a volunteer, including me. So it's a real labor of love, and we want you involved. And we love it when Craig Ponsford comes up and talks to us. So tell us some of the things you're doing at Ponsford Spice now. What's inspiring you? What kind of baking are you doing?
Well, my inspiration is really all about changing the perception of coming into a bakery. I'm very interested in taking better care of my customers. Mm-hmm. I want to make super delicious, fancy baked goods that are healthy or healthier.
You know, I have to tell you, you brought me a loaf of something last December when you were here with Bob Klein. It was round.
That's my egg whole wheat.
Okay. Well, I took it with me. I was just getting over a bad cold or something, so I didn't eat it right when you gave it to me. And I went to New Orleans and Mississippi. And, well, I flew to New Orleans, and we were in New Orleans 3 days before we, you know, got to Mississippi where my daughter lives. The bread going with us the whole time. That bread held up and was absolutely so delicious. We ate it the last 2 weeks of December. I think the last bit of it was a little bit of toast on New Year's Day, and it was fabulous the whole time.
Yeah, very interesting. It's the shelf life of the breads I'm making right now, a lot to do with true whole milled whole wheat, mm-hmm. which is a subject in itself. And also I'm using, in my breads, I'm using some grape seed flour.
Oh.
Which seeds have a magical properties of, if you think about a seed.
Source of life.
Yeah, source of life, and also are designed to be fungal. How do you say it? Antifungal.
Antifungal, I think works. Works for me.
Yeah, able to deal with a lot of pest resistance and all kinds of stuff naturally.
Uh-huh.
And so Kendall Jackson here up north has a no waste stream goal,
mm-hmm.
and they're milling their seeds and their skins of their grapes at the mill that I work at, Certified
Foods.
Interesting.
There's another couple people that are working on grapeseed flour up here as well.
It's pretty fascinating stuff. And it turns out, just because Kendall Jackson, I'm a client of theirs, I do product development with these flours, we kind of discovered that shelf life extension is a huge part of what these flours can do for
you. That's so interesting.
Because you have all this natural properties that are on the seeds themselves.
And it's not an additive.
Yeah, it's a clean, it's a clean shelf life extender, basically. And it also provides a little complexity in the mouth.
Uh-huh.
And so the shelf...
The flavor was really good.
Yeah, people tell me this all the time. It's like, I had your loaf of bread for 2 weeks and it was still great. And so we really like that. That's a cool thing.
It says it's for somebody like me. I don't eat a huge amount of bread. So I always feel bad, you know. I'll buy it. It's like, oh, I really want a BLT.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a BLT and, you know, 3 days later, it's like, oh, you know, I should cut it up and save it, you know, save it in the freezer for bread salad. But to have a bread that will last that long is really, really something.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited about that. And also that it's this whole, you know, it's 100% whole grain. I don't have any white flour in my bakery.
So when you say 100% whole grain, will you describe in detail what that means? Because there is a huge amount of confusion.
I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity because I have a passion around this subject right now. But this is why I spend time at this mill up in Woodland, working with Joe Vanderleet, who's become a little bit of a hero for me and has changed my whole state of mind. Because really, I'm a white flour baker. I mean, I'm known for making ciabatta and baguettes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe my whole wheat breads that I made at Artisan, you may have 30% is whole wheat and the rest is white flour, where now I have no white flour. Joe has taught me the difference between how most of the whole wheat in our country is milled and how smaller mills, which are all over the country, the difference between them.
Mm-hmm.
And my main medium, wheat has been my main medium in terms of my craft for 20 something years now. And I didn't even realize how big companies, of course, destroy our wheat.
Here we go.
And
story.
Yeah, another story. Just parallel with everything else that's done in crazy large amounts. They separate our wheat. They take our bran off, our germ off, and then mill the endosperm, the white part of the wheat berry. And when somebody like me says, I'd like some whole wheat, they reconstitute it. And it's like Humpty Dumpty. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of theories that the germ is never actually added in. Back in. And this is very controversial. In fact, Bob Klein and I were together today, and we're on the pursuit of a pretty hardcore pursuit with some pretty high profile people that are really trying to find out the truth about this germ part of the wheat berry. The germ is kind of the most magical part of the wheat mm-hmm. berry. And for it to be taken off and not put back in, or if it's put back in, to be treated some way, is kind of a crime against, you know, what a whole grain is meant to be about.
Now, is the germ, this is probably an ignorant question, but is the germ like that source of life from which germination comes?
It is. Okay. It's really necessary for mm-hmm. that to be there for the plant to sprout. Mm-hmm. And it seems to have some super magical properties just for somebody. I'm not a scientist. I'm just, you know, really baking is my skill set. And to work with whole milled flour, which is a term that I like people to really think about, where the whole berry is milled at one time and everything that goes in the mill comes out at the same time, milled together, versus endosperm milling, which is where we remove the bran and the germ and mill the endosperm and then put it back together if we want it whole wheat. Unfortunately, the majority of it stays white flour anyway. You know, mm-hmm. So the performance, the shelf life, the taste, everything is dramatically different mm-hmm. with whole milled whole wheat versus endosperm reconstituted whole wheat.
That's interesting because I've had this secret aversion to a lot of whole wheat stuff that I've said, well, this is, you know, you're told this is better for you. And
I'm in the
it's
same
not very
boat.
Palatable.
I have never enjoyed working with whole wheat. Yeah. Alan Scott used to be a friend of mine, uh-huh. a very good friend.
Alan Scott, builder of brick ovens.
Yeah. And he's a whole grain guy. And I was the white bread guy. And we used to giggle at each other, you know, because we both had a lot of respect for each other, but we were the opposites. And I know he'd be, you know, so amused how I've transformed because he'd be in shock mm-hmm. that I have a small little bakery making whole grains instead mm-hmm. of a super large bakery making white flour breads. And, you know, the health impacts of eating these breads that are endosperm versus whole milled seems mm-hmm. to be a direct correlation with most of these Western diseases that we're experiencing.
You and Bob just touched on that subject a little bit. You have to wonder why there's this huge increase in gluten intolerance, celiac disease, and I've even wondered if there's a huge increase in thyroid problems and thyroid from Hashimoto's disease to thyroid cancer. What's going on?
It's a trip. So because of Bob's connections, really because Oliveto has been in business for 25 years mm-hmm. over in Oakland and kind of, you know, one of the top restaurants in the Bay Area
Absolutely.
Is still doing an amazing job. His clientele are people from the Children's Hospital Research Center, which is one of the top cancer research
oh, really?
Centers, and you know, and UC Berkeley.
Clientele in which way?
In the restaurant. So he's become
oh.
friends with these folks, you
oh,
know. And
okay.
they sit on the Community Grains board. And so we have a handful of some of the top cancer researchers in our country, and they are educating us quite well. And really, all the diseases that they're seeing out there, from stroke, diabetes, cancer, even depression, is related to partial foods, and really grains being one of the number one
wow.
things our country eats. So really, for them, it's a simple message is eat whole foods, not processed foods. And so you can look at a direct correlation to when we started, most of our country was eating this endosperm flour, to the rates of cancer and diabetes uh-huh. and all these crazy things that are going on directly related to processing of grains. Grains are one of the main food sources in our country. So. Mm-hmm.
And you hear so much people who are cutting out grains entirely. A lot of health websites talk about how you should never eat grains, you should never eat legumes. And it's like, this is huge amounts of information to sort out.
It's pretty frustrating for me because It's not so complicated as usual. You know, Julia Child was one of my first influences, mm-hmm. and I was lucky enough to work with her a couple of times. And I always think of the things she told me, you know, that I just remember her saying is, you know, everything in moderation, you know. And
yes.
eliminating food groups to me, I think, is really – and also from talking to these cancer guys, you know, eliminating food groups is not necessarily the best mm-hmm. choice. It's eating things in moderation and a good balance of whole foods.
Whole foods. And that's interesting. I had not heard the term partial foods before. That's something very, you know,
yeah.
that should make people
think.
Really sit
yeah,
up
think
and
about
think.
It. And, you know, the bottom line is when you go into a grocery store and if you're really trying hard to eat whole foods, it's impossible.
Try to find some.
Yeah, it's impossible. You can't decipher from labels. So it goes to buying, you know, once again, it goes to finding your local miller, finding your local baker, finding your local butcher, mm-hmm. you know, buy from people that you can talk to and really know what's going on into the food.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If it comes in a package, pretty much don't buy it unless you put, you know.
It's depressing, but
it is.
I have to tell you, I went to this whole grain summit in Minnesota a few months ago now, and it was it was called the Whole Grain Summit, you know, and all these giant corporations were there. I was the black sheep in the group, 250 or 300 people from, you know, General Mills, ConAgra, Cargill, Kraft Foods, you know, the largest makers of food in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was obnoxious. It was,
who was sponsoring it? Who was putting it on?
It's a, you know, a self...
Okay.
It was a bureaucratic,
yeah. okay.
You know, promotional
yeah.
vehicle, you know,
okay.
and they all just patting each other on the backs and
uh-huh.
all that. And one of the breakout sessions was, you won't believe this, but the breakout session was, how do we define whole grains? And then I went to this just because I thought uh-huh. it was so amusing. I went to this thing, and the first 20 minutes were rules of what we couldn't discuss.
Of what they couldn't discuss.
Yeah, because everyone in the room, of course, has these advertising, these bags of food that aren't being honest. So
yeah.
they kind of said, we can't go into this, we can't go into that. You know, and I walked out. I just was blown away. I was yeah. pretty upset by the whole meeting because they were talking about GMOs as, you know, as casually as reading the morning newspaper. It's unfortunate. We really need to take back our food.
Yeah.
These big groups are not taking uh-huh. good care of us.
Well, you know, there's something parallel going on with the term organic now. I mean, when the...
Very similar.
Yeah, the federal government... I was just listening to somebody talking about this last week. It was bad enough that there were 70 things you could put into the land and still get the term organic. Now it's almost 300 chemicals you can put onto your land and still be allowed to call it organic.
This is yet another frustration for me because people will come into my facility and say, is it organic? And I'm not focused on organic. I'm really focused on knowing who's growing the food
mm-hmm.
or where I buy it from. And I know farmers who are not organic who will not use 250 of the items that
yeah.
they okay, you know,
right.
so it's really
yeah,
unfortunate.
Yeah, that term doesn't.
It doesn't mean anything. It's like yeah. artisan, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I've experienced this thing.
I know. Artisan
what
is
a
hard one for, it's a hard one for me because in the real meaning of artisan, I mean, the image I get is someone's hands and they're
yeah.
doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still use it and I think, oh, I need an alternative to artisan because... You know, now it's a buzzword.
Yeah, it's a buzzword. It's unfortunate. When we called artisan bakers, it was really Carol Fields that influenced me. She defined
yeah.
an artisan baker in her book, and I was like, hey, that's what we're
yeah.
going to be. And
yeah.
we didn't think anything about it being such a, unfortunately, a super abused word now. Yeah. You know,
at least it's not artisanal.
Yeah.
It's really abused.
How about artesian?
Oh, yeah. Okay, on that note, we're taking another musical break. We'll be right here on Mouthful.
Oh,
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Anna Jordan here on KRCB. Thanks for tuning in. My guest this evening, the incomparable Craig Ponsford. I've loved everything he's done for 2 decades, and now he has Ponsford's Place down in San Anselmo, and we'll give website address and all that at the end of the show. We don't have all that much time left. One thing I was interested in talking about the bakery, you said, well, if I decide I want to do art, I can do art. How are these other endeavors fitting into this place?
Well, a lot of things are doing really well. The art part is, it was when we first opened, we were rather slow, to say the least. And so I was able to do more art than I am currently doing.
What kind of art?
Well, edible art, I guess.
Oh, edible
you know,
art.
It isn't meant to be eaten so much, really. Okay. I mean, it just so happens to be edible, but mm-hmm. I'm sculpting, making sculptures with dough.
Oh, okay.
And I've always done it. I've done plaques and mm-hmm. and things. I can do somebody's logo, you know, if I work for a big corporate client, I'll mm-hmm. do their logo, make them really happy out of bread or whatever. But I have all these ideas, you know. The reason I got into food is because of creativity, and Artisan being so successful and, you know, quite a ride and a journey, but it was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And you lock into a menu and you have your wholesale customers, and then you start having vans and employees and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Creativity goes right out the window eventually.
Sure.
You
yeah,
know, and
absolutely.
So I also like making little films. So, food films, you know, little things about food. So, you know, the goal really was for this to be, it's a real humble situation what we're doing at Ponsford's Place. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to have a lot of employees. I don't want a lot of vans. I don't want to do all that anymore. I mm-hmm. really want there. A lot of what I'm doing is selfish. You know, I'm trying to take care of myself mm-hmm. with the needs of what internally I need to do, mm-hmm. which is feed people. I love feeding people. Mm-hmm. It's really, really important to me. I stopped feeding people for a year and a half in between Ponsford's Place and Artisan, and mm-hmm. it really started to get to me. And I love to teach, and mm-hmm. I really like to be creative. And I, you know, so all these things are what Ponsford's Place is doing, trying to do for me.
So when do you teach?
Well, I'm an adjunct instructor at the CIA.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I haven't taught there for quite a while. I'm just too busy. You know, it's once again, I've gotten myself too busy. We have great intentions to start teaching at Ponsford's Place again, very soon, and it will be on our website. And I'm trying to figure out a way to teach that doesn't cause me so much anxiety.
Good luck. I'm an adjunct teacher at junior college. I haven't been there for a while because of budget cuts. Mm. I've never found a way to reduce the anxiety, and it's the same with being, say, on television or something. Mm. You either feel the anxiety up until, you know, you step into the classroom or the camera goes on, and then it's over and it's fine. So you've or if you don't feel the anxiety, then the second you start, the anxiety comes.
It's exactly. For me, I just beat myself up until it happens, and then it goes great.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm like, why did I beat myself up so much?
I think, unfortunately, I think creative people who expect a lot of themselves, I think that's just part and parcel.
Perfectionist,
with it.
Yeah. I just can't help it. But I'm trying to figure out a way. Actually, Phil Lesh is in our neighborhood now. He has this terrapin restaurant, you know, from the Grateful Dead. It's really cool. And he has all these different ways. He's doing the same thing in a way at his restaurant. He has all these different venues and ways to feed himself, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. And so he has these things called ramble on shows or rambles. And they're really about just being relaxed and with local musicians and having a good time. And so I'm trying to figure out a way to have like these rambling classes where it's just, you know, people really like baking with me, and I just want to be able mm-hmm. to relax and have fun baking with them instead of getting all stressed out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I can't make a lot of money doing it anyway. So mm-hmm. I really need the balance to kick in before I do a lot of it, because otherwise it just takes too much from me, and I, mm-hmm. you know, I just don't recover.
I understand completely. You also mentioned savory foods, and I took that to mean non-baked goods.
Yeah. I mean, right now we do a lot of baked savory goods at our place
now. What sorts of things?
Well, we do quiches. We do these laminated I'm making the, I don't call it croissant dough or Danish dough. We call them laminated doughs because they're whole grain. And I don't like, you know, croissant dough means white flour to me. So using the method of croissant to make whole grain doughs without sugar in them, and we're making savory vegetable filled or meat and vegetable filled products. And we make turnovers filled with beans. And like this weekend we had, my sister works at Rancho Gordo. Elizabeth's also working
Elizabeth
with me.
Works at Rancho Gordo.
Yeah. And she also works at Puntsford's place.
And what does she do at Rancho Gordo?
She sells beans.
Oh, okay.
She's a bean seller.
I've been wanting to
have
Rancho Gordo on.
Yeah. She's been there for 5 or 6 years,
oh, wow.
I think. She sells at the farmer's market in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
So she only works one day a week. Mm-hmm. And then she's at Puntsford's place.
Oh, she is. Okay.
So with some of her beans, some of their beans this week she made with cauliflower and a curry and we put them in a turnover, and they were spectacular. They were really nice. So.
Cool.
And so those kind of things. But I also want to do, we're doing the pizza nights. We do these pizza nights with whole grain crust and local. We buy everything at the farmer's market. I'm buying everything too. I really like to buy, you know, I like to go and
to do hands-on.
Yeah,
buying.
Because artisan, once again, we had distributors, you know, I never get to see anything.
Now, which market do you go to?
I go to the one at the Civic Center in Summerfield.
It's a great market.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
We go there Thursdays and Sundays both.
Yeah.
Thursday is the main one for the bakery. And I just, whatever we're going to, that's the other thing. We don't have a menu. So I just go and buy everything, and then whatever I feel like making, I make.
Now, to have your place open on Friday and Saturday?
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those aren't the only days you're baking. How many days are you baking to be open those 2 days?
Well, that's interesting. You know, it takes quite a few days to build up, and people don't realize that. And being such a small place, we have a one-door refrigerator and a two-door freezer. So if we were open many more days than that, we can do 3 days probably if we really push it. But it takes many days to build up to making laminated doughs and yeasted doughs and all that. But I'm also doing product development there. So I have clients that I'm working on all these different projects. We have over 50 different types of flours in my bakery and grains.
Now,
that
the
I get
project,
to play with.
The product development that you do, are you sticking to your beliefs?
Yeah. I'm lucky enough that the trend is changing.
That's great.
That all my clients are letting me influence how we're doing this product development. And I've helped with pastas, community grain pasta. I've helped with this whole vine cookies that are out on the marketplace now that are Kendall Jackson a sister company, the one that deals with the grape and grape seed and grape skin flowers. So we have a couple things out on the market. We're working with a group called True Roots that has sprouted grains, and we're going to launch a line of cookies for them. So it's really fun because they're all whole milled. Everything I'm working with is being milled at Certified Foods. So it's all whole milled stuff. And yeah, they're being influenced. I'm trying not to use white sugar or very little and using whole foods for sweetener too. So whole apples, so applesauce.
So whole foods for sweeteners.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just trying to make.
Have you done anything with beets?
I have.
Sugar beets?
Yeah. I'm playing with everything I can, and I'm learning so much, especially getting outside the box and looking at other countries and what they've used. And I just went to Whole Herb Company in Sonoma the other day. I hadn't been there for quite a few years.
Oh, God, yeah.
And they have over 700 ingredients in there.
Whole Herb Company in Sonoma.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's they're a big wholesaler, but I got to walk through there, and they just educated me about all these different sweeteners that I.
They'd make a great guest.
Yeah, they would.
It would make a great
really
episode
neat
of
stuff.
Mouthful.
Yeah, really inspirational because they get things from all over the world, and if you look at how people make food in a different country and what they use for sweeteners, it really enlightens you. And often they weren't partial foods because they didn't have the fancy machines to break foods apart. Right, that we do.
Well, we're just about out of time, Craig.
I know, that went by so fast.
Quick, your little food films.
Well,
can anyone see those? Are they on your website or anything?
They're on the Facebook, right? Are they on our Facebook?
They're on the link.
They're linked on this. Okay, yep. And what is the website?
PonsfordsPlace.com.
So it's PONSFORDS. PLACE.com.
Correct.
Ponsford's Place. And let's tell
we also have a Facebook page too.
Okay, great. Ponsford's Place.
Yep.
I will be liking you before the end of the day.
Cool.
And what is the address again?
117 Shaver Street.
Shaver.
Yes.
Shaver Street in San Rafael. You're open on Fridays 8 to 6?
Correct.
And Saturdays?
8 to 3.
8 to 3. Okay.
And we do post our hours. We update our hours every week, and we're really good about that.
Okay, so. That's great. Well, thank you. You're always such an inspiration, and you always have been from your white flower days until now. I've always inspired by what you do.
Thank you so much.
I just wish you were open on Thursdays because I'm in San Rafael on Thursdays. But I can be there.
Keep
on
an eye.
Day.
It might happen. We might do Thursdays in the wintertime. And pizza night. Come on,
right,
our pizza
night. Well, I have a class. I have two classes in San Anselmo, 6:15 to 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could, if you were open, you know, I could get there at 5:30 and see you for half an hour.
That would be
on
great.
On that note, we are out of time. So be sure to tune in next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful. And, you know, maybe I'll see you at the at Bruce Idell's in Conversation at Windrush Farm next Sunday from 2 to 5, a benefit for the absolutely wonderful Sonoma County Book Festival. Have a great week.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough. Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page. We got some beans.